What does home mean when you've lived in 17 different houses across 4 continents before turning 17? This question forms the beating heart of Megan Harlan's extraordinary journey through a childhood defined by perpetual movement. Unlike traditional nomads who follow ancestral patterns, Harlan's family relocated almost yearly, propelled by her father's engineering career on massive global construction projects. From Saudi Arabian deserts to Scottish highlands, each transition brought radical shifts in climate, culture, and daily rhythms. This created a unique perspective, one where only the very intimate, thoughts, family, or the vastly expansive, London, astronomy, poetry, felt tangible, while the middle ground of neighborhood connections and community ties remained perpetually out of reach. Their American tradition of westward movement transformed into an international odyssey, turning the frontier into a global experience where cardboard boxes, meticulously managed by her homemaker mother, became both anchors and sails, containing fragments of past lives while facilitating movement toward future ones. For nomads, the sky becomes an ever-present ceiling that magnifies when you live on the move. It frames freedom, exposure, and safety, suggesting that freedom itself can be safety. Like Bedouin travelers using stars for navigation, Harlan's family tracked their journey through airport codes and flight paths. This challenges the Western concept of home as fixed space. Harlan's parents saw their children as the world that mattered most, treating each move as an educational opportunity and new chapter in their development. They believed their children could carry these kaleidoscopic experiences anywhere, weaving them into an invisible tapestry in place of roots. This assumption, that home is portable and family bonds could replace geographical stability, raises essential questions about belonging in our mobile world.
Identical trailer homes dotted construction compounds across extreme environments, from Alaskan tundra to Arabian desert to South American jungle, creating unintentional experiments in socialist living. These 1,000-square-foot double-wides proved remarkably adaptable, housing full amenities despite temperatures from negative 40F to 120F. In Saudi Arabia, 8-year-old Harlan found their trailer perfectly sized, a familiar haven in foreign lands. Her mother transformed the standard interior with Persian carpets and global treasures, while Ethiopian coffee ceremonies filled their rooms. These aluminum-sided American homes marked them as outsiders, yet provided consistency in their nomadic life. Mobile homes occupy a unique position in American society, from luxury oceanfront properties to rural communities housing 20 million people, yet remain overlooked in architectural discourse, despite being the only truly indigenous non-Native American housing type.
When Harlan was 6, she lived in a Los Angeles motel with her mother and little brother for 6 weeks. Their second-floor window overlooked a Denny's and a freeway wall, with palm trees drooping over a shifting parking lot. They had arrived by taxi with 4 suitcases after selling their possessions, awaiting relocation first to Iran, then Saudi Arabia. They ate every meal at Denny's, where Betty, their blonde waitress, became their anchor, slipping extra bacon onto plates and ignoring when Harlan's brother built towers with cream containers. Their space-age motel, with its angular architecture and atomic signage, felt like a space station for travelers suspended between past and future. In this limbo, Harlan's usually dynamic mother collapsed into endless pacing and repacking, perpetual motion yielding nothing but worn carpet paths. While her mother made whispered embassy calls, Harlan lost herself in library books about children with permanent addresses. These transitional spaces, motels, airports, temporary housing, became markers in her nomadic life, where identity turned fluid and home became wherever you slept that night.
January 1977, Harlan moved from Los Angeles to London with her mother and brother, first to a fancy hotel suite until funds ran dry, then to Saudi Arabia, before settling in a Kensington Square flat with her father. London appeared and vanished like a theater production, its underground mapping journeys through history. The city buzzed with both the Queen's Silver Jubilee celebrations and punk counterculture, the Sex Pistols and the Clash emerging from King's Road storefronts. At the Tower of London, her mother's tales of royal executions captivated young Meghan, who admired Anne Boleyn for ordering her beheading sword from France's finest craftsmen, her first lesson in quality. Standing at the chopping block, amid London's wet stone and traffic fumes, she grasped that her family's comfortable existence was an anomaly in history's cruelty. Without friends or school, Harlan immersed herself in the city, its Roman streets, medieval maps, Renaissance windows, and black cabs. London became her first window to truly see the world. After living in three vast American states, she encountered a place that accepted its diminished global role and understood what being American meant. Loud, provincial yet ambitious, ignorant yet shrewd. At 15, Harlan moved to Terra Linda in Marin County, home to one of the largest collections of Eichler houses. Joseph Eichler, transformed by living in a Frank Lloyd Wright house during World War II, revolutionized California architecture by mass-producing modernist homes for middle-class buyers. After decades as a produce salesman, Eichler discovered his calling at 48 through three core elements: light, nature, and privacy. He believed modernism was inherently democratic, refusing to discriminate by race when such practices were common. His signature designs featured post and beam construction, radiant heating, and floor-to-ceiling windows that brought the outdoors in, reminiscent of Spanish-Mexican architecture with plain exteriors hiding beautiful interiors. During their house hunt, Harlan's family toured an Eichler that moved her mother to tears, its modest exterior concealing a psychedelic interior with kaleidoscopic murals. This clash between Eichler's standardized modernism and hippie expression fascinated Harlan. Between 1949 and 1974, Eichler built over 11,000 homes in California, creating communities that embodied accessible modern design, homes that would shape Harlan's sense of architecture's role in identity and belonging. Harlan's childhood homes merge into one surreal mansion, 134 rooms spanning continents, architectural styles, and eras. This mental house blends spaces from Latin America, Alaska, Arabia, California, London, and Houston, with corridors breaking into different times and places. Even after settling in America, her parents continued moving, treating houses as investments for a better someday, constantly renovating and revealing shelter's impermanent nature. For her family, home became an active verb, always conjugating into new forms. Their moves formed an endless quest toward the mythical someday house, a legend running parallel to their actual lives. What endures are the fragments: pottery from Saudi deserts, her mother's cultural notes, memories of her father teaching the mechanics of joy through Beatles songs. These physical and emotional artifacts form a personal archaeology that defies simple narratives about belonging. They bridge time and space, preserving essential stories. Home exists not in permanence, but in collected moments, a portable sanctuary woven from experiences across continents, unpacked wherever we go.